Hello and welcome to a Burkamp Wonderland World Cup special live with me, not the GFP. Here with us, me tonight, first of all, we've got Lana, who is an ex-Arsenal supporter, living in Sweden and is a sports for the France team, don't you, Lana?
Yes, hi.
And you no longer support Arsenal because Arsene Wenger is no longer the manager. I thought you were joking, but you're serious, aren't you?
Way to throw me under the bus, man, as if I don't get enough abuse as it is.
You love it. That's why you do it.
Just a bit.
Yeah, and then I won't tell people that you're secretly hoping that Lacazette signs for Atletico Madrid either. I won't let that out because that really will. No, they love it. They love us Arsenal fans being grumpy. But you're a Juventus fan now. You always were a Juventus fan. So people might know you from our very own pirate Chris's podcast, The Football Hipsters. You've been on there a few times. Mm-hmm. And do you miss Chris?
I can't miss something I don't miss in, to begin with. But sure, if that makes him sleep at night.
Oh dear, poor old Chris. And how's Chris getting on organising his Football Hipsters World Cup specials? Are they going well?
Well, I haven't spoken to him in a while, so I suppose that's not going so well.
That's because he's fucking useless.
Yes. Men.
Yes, that's it. That sums Chris up, men. And next we have Hervoye.
That was okay, yeah.
How long have we known each other?
Like 10 years, something like this.
We used to use an Arsenal forum called Online Arsenal, and I was regularly getting kicked off of there and suspended and in trouble. I actually got banned once, and then Maverick come and saved me. But yeah, we were chatting on there years ago, and then we've had a few Skype chats over the years, and I've mentioned that whenever I see anybody who's Croatian, I always say Bok, which is the only word I know in Croatian, which is hello. So Bok Hrvoje.
Bok.
Hrvoje. Oh, fuck it. I've written it down. Hrvoje. Yeah. From now on, I will be calling in Herman. Let's go and have a look and see how many people. There's actually people watching. So in the chat box at the moment, we have, MY25, he was the first person to turn up, and that was at 6:30. And then I said, no, we're not starting at 6:30. We are testing that everyone's connections worked. Then Archie turned up and then said, hashtag fuck Ellis. So I think everyone all agrees that hashtag fuck Ellis is the way to go. And then J-Rob is there, and he's retracting messages already. Jove82, Jonas, I asked him to come on. He's a Belgium fan, living in Belgium, and he said no. I said my English my accent isn't that brilliant. I said, you wait till you hear my accent. My English is awful, and I'm born here. So, that's okay. Archie and Rob's there, and who else is in there? There's Stephen Edwards. Hello, Stephen, how are you? There's a few more people. There is Kevin Labeck. Says yo. Daniel Cronin says hello everybody. Oh, hey everybody. Abu Seven says sneakers, ice cream. Sneakers. Do you mean Snickers? Or sneakers? Maybe they're making ice cream out of old trainers. Sneakers, that'd be interesting. Oh, I want the laces, as long as they're licorice. Rudy Rastos says, I'm here as well. Good evening. Alan Cracker says hello everybody. Jove says, oh, he hasn't decided. So people, if you want Jove, Jonas, to come on. He's in Belgium. He's a Belgian fan. We can come on and we can all accuse Lukaku of being a fraud in front of him because that's what Chris calls him. Rudy says, I am from Germany before anyone asks. Who's that? Neil McKeown Music. Right. All right, you slag, Danny. That's really nice. Ron Ree has remembered that usually I put on here, if you want me to say hello to you, you have to put I'm a mushroom. So Ron Ree has put a picture of a mushroom. Neil McKeown says, how are we? Yeah, we're all good. And Mayanak Nagendra says, pip, pip. People are just making up names to wind me up now. It's, unless your name's Gary, I've got no chance. Jonas, come on. Belgium are great. Weren't great. Yeah, they weren't too great. Right, first of all, when more people join in, if you've got any questions for Lana or Herman, I'm going to call him Herman from now on, otherwise I'm going to make up.
I'm so glad my name is easy to pronounce.
It is very easy to pronounce it.
I think Rudy from Germany will like Herman last name, so it will be easy for him.
I wasn't going to give away that Herman was your last name. It might have been my special nickname for you.
Yeah. You lasted like two minutes.
That's terrible. Right, first of all, we'll start off with you, Lana. What was your thoughts on the France World Cup squad, and how angry were you that Lacazette wasn't in it?
I love how everyone knows that I'm angry. They're like tagging me all over the place on Twitter. Some people even called me. They were like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm fine. Why wouldn't I be?" They're like, "Have you seen the squad?" And I'm like, "No." Because I was at work when the squad was announced. I even had a timer on because I wanted to be online when it happened. But then I totally like missed it. And then it's like, I didn't give a shit about the goalkeeper. And the thing, I literally just scrolled down to attack. And then I was like, "Where's L? Where's L? L, L?" And I'm like, then I started screaming. And then I cussed out in all the languages I know. And then I might have thrown my phone in the wall and just like, yeah. I left work. I was super angry. And I might have cussed Arsenal very, 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 very much. Because, yeah, I blame them. So everyone knows. And you all guys can hate me. Not that I care. But it's Arsenal's fault. Because he left Lyon because, you know, he has an agenda against Lyon players. And when he comes to Arsenal, we all hoped that he would be called up. But then Wenger decided to play him through injuries and Arsenal fans broke him. And here we are in a World Cup without Lacazette. After being, you know, the highest top scorer in Europe of all the French players. But, you know.
So why do you think he didn't make the squad? Is it because Didier Deschamps is an idiot?
You are you asking if I think he is or if he is?
Both.
He is. That goes without saying. I think because of the injury, to be honest. I think that had he had the surgery earlier, had they found out, he would have had a chance. And he did okay for it to be his first season. He was struggling with injuries. And I just feel bad for him because he was so unlucky. And I'm glad that Fekir went, but I don't know. There's so many good attackers. He even left Martial at home. So now I've been just praying that someone gets injured so he gets called up. But I have a feeling if I pray that someone gets injured, it's going to be Fekir because, you know, I have bad karma.
Any idea where Fekir is going to sign for? Because he was being linked to Liverpool until Liverpool tried to rob them of the price, didn't he? Then they said no. So do you know where he's going?
I hope Bayern hijacked the deal because, you know, Bayern, it seems like Bayern has a really good relationship with Lyon after, you know, signing Tolisso. And they would obviously give the money that they think he's worthy of. But the whole Liverpool, you know, deal, it was just like Liverpool have themselves to thank for that deal falling through, leaking information to the media. I mean, French media had no idea what was going on. They were quoting all the English media, and Aulas hate stuff like that. And when they agreed on a fee, they didn't try to go back and lowball him. And if you know Aulas, you know that's never going to sit well with them. So he just pulled the plug and went out on the official page and said, all our negotiations with Liverpool are over, but we are open to discussing with other big clubs in Europe.
Yeah, that means he's not going to go. Well, that's good because I would hate to see Fekir at Liverpool. I'd like to see Fekir at Arsenal and get rid of Ozil. But every time I say that, people get angry.
I said that during the winter time when Arsenal signed Mkhitaryan. You basically effectively ruled out any potential signing of Fekir and extending Ozil's contract.
Craziness. Were you going to say something, Herman?
Yeah, I'm just dreaming about Griezmann, and I don't want to sound gay, but I know he said he won't leave Atletico, but when we talk about French players, signing Griezmann for Arsenal would be huge.
We've been linked to him a few times, haven't we? Anyway, this isn't an Arsenal podcast at the moment. It's a World Cup one. Otherwise, I'm sure we could spend all night moaning about Arsenal because that's what Arsenal fans do. So I just want to say hello to a few more people. Billy Butler is in there. Who else is in there? Someone had a question for Lana from Archie. He says, Henrik Larsson or Patrice Evra as a pundit, which is your favourite?
Oh, people seem to forget that I despise Evra with all my heart and I hope he dies a slow death. But, I mean, Evra is a disgusting human being. He shouldn't be anywhere near football as a pundit or as a player. I mean, come on. And Glashan is a really great player. He's so humble. I've always been a fan of him. You know, seeing him play for Barcelona, United, even in Scotland. So I'm really glad that he then went on to become a coach. And now he's been doing some punditry work. And I saw him, I think it was last night or the day before, with Evra and, oh, what's her name? That woman who was sitting in the studio when Evra just decided to be a disgusting sexist pig towards her.
I've no idea. I don't watch the pundits. I turn the match on when it starts and I turn it off when it ends because I'm just worried that Robbie Savage might pop up and ruin my day, or Phil Neville. They're morons.
Well, you haven't, so you don't know what Evra did or said?
No.
Oh, he's gotten a lot of hate because
tell us.
There was a woman, female. She, I don't know whether she used to play football or what her deal was. Because she's one of two female pundits in England. She was talking about, which game was it? The Peru game, I think, against, I think it was Peru or Costa Rica. And that basically, whenever she made a good point, Evra decided to clap her. And then he said to Henk Larsson, we should just go home because she's been right in everything, basically.
Wow.
He was just being a total douchebag. And typical Evra, I don't understand why he's even on television.
Probably for the same reason he's at West Ham, because he played for Man United once and was quite good about a decade ago.
I played for Juve as well, so that's a memory I want to delete off my brain.
Okay, right. So anyone else put anything interesting in here? He says, oh yeah, quite a few. Ron Rea has said he's glad that Lacazette is getting a rest. A few people agree that Deschamps is an idiot. I don't like Deschamps because he's got some fantastic Liverpool, some fantastic French players, and he doesn't use them. Right, so, Mr. Herman, should we go and have a look at the Croatia squad? What was your thoughts on the Croatia squad? Is there anybody that you think should have gone to the World Cup with Croatia that didn't go? And how do you feel about your Croatian squad?
Well, our team is pretty simple to make a list, because our manager, he doesn't have a huge choice in order to pick our players. There is maybe one player that I was thinking that could be on the list. It's Marco Rog, and he's from Napoli, but he like played in this season 20 games, but his average was like 9 minutes. So he kind of deserved it to be left out. We had players like Marco Piazza, who was loaned from Juventus to Schalke. He played there like 6 or 7 games, not much, but he's a right winger. We need a right winger, and even the manager said that Piazza got injured like 9 months ago in a friendly match for Croatia. So he said, like, I have to invite him. We need him. He got injured on a Croatian game, so he's in our team. But the most important thing so far, everyone is healthy and ready. So as long as Modric is healthy, this is the most important thing for me as a Croatian fan.
Have you seen on British TV that the who was the Croatian manager who was manager of West Ham, whose name I cannot remember?
Slaven Bilic.
That's it. Oh, man, that man looks a mess. Have you seen him on English TV? Why is he even on English TV commentating or doing punditry work? Because I don't even think he was a really good manager for anyone other than Croatia. He was rubbish at West Ham, spent a fortune and did nothing with it. Again, it's West Ham, so I'm happy about that.
But he had one good season with West Ham. I don't know if it was first or second.
Yeah.
But he's
first season.
He's quite funny and charismatic, and I'm surprised that you have a negative impressions about him.
I just look at him and he scares me. He looks like he would bite me and not worry about it.
Don't you have a negative attitude towards everyone except me, obviously?
Oh, you and Herman, you're two of my favourite. That's why you're on. So okay, right. If we move on to start with you, Lana, your first group game where you played our Aussie Doms, Australia, and just looking at it here, and the 58th minute penalty from Griezmann, and then Jedinak, who looks like he looks scary, looks like a Viking. I've got his football sticker, and I can't even, when I put him in this football sticker book, I have to look away from it because he looks like a scary human being. And then he scored a 62nd minute penalty, and then how do you say that? B. Hitch scored an 81st minute own goal. So what was your thoughts on the game?
Well, where do you begin? It was shocking from the beginning to the end, actually. I mean, I think Deschamps assumed that Australia would play the same way America would. Well, the U.S. would, but what Shams seemed to have forgotten is that Australia qualified while the United States didn't. And Australia aren't afraid to attack while being good at defending, because obviously, if you saw the game, they were sitting back, like dropping deep a lot. And we were vulnerable when they come flying in from, you know, the wings. And I don't know what it was. Umtiti was making mistakes from beginning to the start. He was the one that conceded the penalty, which was so stupid. I think it was a free kick, and he just, like, jumped high up with his hand, a la Maradona, basically. And then the penalty was awarded. And the first penalty that was awarded went to us. I didn't think it was a penalty at all. I mean, 9 out of 10 times, that's not given. But for some strange reason, we got it. And I knew, I said it, I even tweeted about it. This is going to come back to haunt us. It's not a penalty. 4 minutes later, they're awarded a penalty. And I'm like, yep, told you so. And the fact that we had to be saved by an own goal just shows how poorly we prepare for this game. I mean, the fact that we benched Giroud, who's, you know, he's been immense for France. Fine, he doesn't show up in finals, but it is what it is. You don't bench your best striker. And everyone says that Pogba is France's best player, Griezmann is France's best player, but they're not. It's Giroud. He is and has always been our best player from when he came into the national team. And we saw that when he came on, when Matuidi came on, when Fekir came on, the game would just completely changed. And just, you know, more pace, more aggressivity, and more chances being created. And then the second goal came, which, you know, originally was awarded to Pogba, but thank God it turned into a no goal, because otherwise United fans are going to say, but he scored a goal, so he was brilliant. But he wasn't.
A couple of people in the chat box agree with you. May Yank says, I'm not sure why France chose to play Kante in that game. Rudy Rastos from Germany says, France were so slow. Pogba slowed everything down. The wings couldn't win their challenges. Australia not good enough up front. Kind of agrees with what you said there. And Mayank. Oh, dear. It's because of the English language. It's weird. I can say German-sounding things, but I can't say other weird thing. I say weird. It's not weird at all, is it? And that person says, Umtiti wanted to eject. What does that mean? That maybe he wanted to come off?
No, I think he means something else. Ooh. If I'm not mistaken. Maybe he wanted to get
sent off, ejected from the field.
I thought something else.
Probably sent off or something.
Yes, Arsenic says a fishy penalty and an own goal. Lucky French.
Yeah. I don't think anyone was like, yeah, we deserve to win, because we didn't. We were lucky. If it had been a draw, we would have been lucky to get away with the point. It's that simple. And you're right, Pogba does slow down. And for me, the midfield trio that they started out the game before the United States, who did we play that we won 3-1 or something like that? It was a midfield of Matuidi, Tolisso, and Zonzi. And that for me was the perfect midfield to play out. Because then you have someone that sits back. You have, you know, the runner, a creative player. You have basically the perfect midfield, because none of them will slow you down in midfield, which Pogba does, which Kante does. Deschamps has been in charge for, what, like 6 years? And for some strange reason, he still can't understand that Pogba and Kante on the pitch just doesn't work at all. And for me, I would just bench Pogba. I don't see him adding any value to a team. For me, 10 minutes isn't enough where he shows off some few tricks and a piece of magic, because I need that consistency throughout the whole game. And you're not going to get that from Pogba.
Okay. Mayanka said I can call him Mike. I'll call them Mike. That's brilliant. Thank you very much. Hey, Herman. It's always best when people let me call them an easy name. Someone's asking, Alana, were you saying that Giroud is France's best player?
He's France's most important player. Even if you say best, it doesn't necessarily mean the most talented, skillful, la la. But in terms of how important he is to this French team, I would say, go as far and say he is the most important one.
After Griezmann.
No, because Griezmann didn't do anything except score that dodgy penalty, which wasn't a penalty.
I think it was. I think it was. And
you look at it in the Premier League, 9 out of 10 times, that's not given.
Yeah, but I think this last touch on the back of his heel is the crucial touch.
Because he hits the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Griezmann goes down. And unless you're City, you're never going to get that penalty.
Was that the one where, as he slid in for the tackle just on the edge of the box, he lifted his leg slightly up and then the leg almost touched him and then he fell? Because I don't think that was a penalty either.
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay, yeah. I've seen every game, but they're all melding into one.
Because he touches the ball before Griezmann just like lifts his foot. You can see that Griezmann's going for the dive and for that penalty.
But the referees have been told that when it comes to offside decisions, to try and let the game flow. So maybe they're incorporating the entire thing into we want more goals, because the amount of penalties that we've had in this World Cup already. I think in the last World Cup I'm sure there was a stat that said there was only 2 penalties in the last World Cup, or maybe it was only 2 were missed in the last World Cup. But the number of penalties we're having already, and
haven't we had like 6 penalties so far or something?
Yeah,
today was also awarded penalties.
Yeah, so maybe it's the referees are interpreting. Do you think that's what they're doing, Herman? They're trying to make sure the games have got lots of goals by giving penalties that sometimes could be seen as maybe not a penalty?
I mean, I heard the story about offside, that if referees in doubt whether it should be offside or not, that he should leave the play to move on. But I'm not sure about the penalties. I think every penalty so far, I've seen today this penalty for Japan. It was a clear penalty, especially with this technology that is helping. And I know.
But that was more clear than the dive from Griezmann.
I agree that people can say this penalty on Griezmann is doubtful. But I for me, it's a clear penalty. But only after watching the replay like 5 times, the last part of the replay was clear to me. At first, I said, no way, this is a dive. But it's only my opinion.
Okay. Archie says there's been 9 penalties so far. And Jonas says, but was clear a penalty for Japan, though. Yeah, we're not going to talk about the Japan. If there's anybody who's a Japanese supporter, do let us know. Especially if you
probably
speak
some English. Dortmund fans.
Yeah, Kagawa, wasn't it? Yeah. So I'm a Dortmund fan. That's why.
They won, right?
Yeah, 2-1. Yeah. And Colombia had somebody sent off. They weren't very good at all. And what else are the people putting in here? Mike has put, think any contact is a penalty now. VAR needs more perspective. Yeah, I agree with that. And Kevin Labak says, just relying on VAR for offside instead of stopping the play is in potential error. Jonas has always put, Tunisia penalty wasn't one to me. I think there will be a compilation at the end of the World Cup of all the penalty decisions and all the VAR decisions. Personally, I don't want VAR or any of that stuff in football. That's why I love football, because sometimes it's going to go for you, sometimes it's going to go against you.
But I think if it's used in a proper way, which it is in Serie A, you barely notice it, then I don't mind it, especially in a league where everyone seems to think that Juve cheat. I think it's good that we have VAR. That way, no. But even then, people are like, yeah, but you paid the VAR referees. That's why you won. And I'm like, okay, it had nothing to do with Sami Khedira scoring a hat-trick, but all right.
It's all over again.
My opinion here is that we just need to give more time to VAR to show us. You said Serie A is a great example, and I agree. But we have a World Cup so far for, like, what is this? 6th or 5th day. So I think that VAR will help to prove that football can be a really fair game.
Yeah. You just need to get used to it, and it has to be used in a way that's not noticeable. And I think since it's been so many penalties, people will look negative on it.
Mike's made a good point here. He says, what happens if a marginal offside is not given, then the team gets a corner and scores? Is it taken all the way back? Because I'm sure you two saw that wasn't it a German game where they went off for half time and the referee got them to come back on during half time and then he gave them a penalty. So could we see something like that happening in the World Cup, Herman, do you think?
This would be tricky for sure. But I saw this situation in Germany. But in the end, yes, they went to the dressing room almost half of the team. They lost 5 minutes of time, but it was fair in the end. And I think that being fair is important in the end of the story.
Well, Lana, I take it you don't agree with that.
No, just because I feel like we...
Half time, can you? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, fine, just make up some lame excuse in second half by giving a dodgy penalty. Then I feel that's what the ref did in the Australia game. Yes. He was like, yeah, because he must have been unsure.
That's happened plenty of times, though, in football, hasn't it? One team's been given a penalty, and then later on in the game, the referee will give an easy penalty to another team if maybe he's been told that penalty you gave in the first half, that wasn't a penalty. That happens quite a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Thunder Road is being a tit. He's saying these two are better than some of the current ABW members. Thunder Road is our resident grumping. Now we let him get away with almost anything because he's just good fun. Right, Herman, your first group game. You played Nigeria. He's another own goal. There've been quite a few own goals by Etebo in the 32nd minute, and then another penalty by Modric in the 71st minute. What did you think about the game?
Well, people here in Croatia say we were not playing well, but I think the most important thing is 3 points and 2-0 win. And if we look some of the favorites in the World Cup, like France was my favorite number one for winning. I'm not sure about this anymore.
I could have told you that before the World Cup started.
Brazil played Switzerland, didn't manage to get 3 points. Germany, I don't need to comment this, what happened to them.
Don't Rudy will cry.
Yeah. So I think that in a first match for World Cup, it's not too good that you fly on the pitch and that you destroy the opponent. Because it happened to Croatia in last Euro 2 years ago. We were in a group with Spain and we won against Spain. We were top of the group. Everything was perfect. Even Perisic on wing was far, 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 far our best player. So everyone was delighted with this. And then the game against Portugal came and we were struggling to score a goal and we lost this match. So I think it's okay that we got 3 points, that no one is injured, and that I expect that we will grow from match to match. I'm, I would say, unrealistically optimistic about this Croatian team and about our abilities in this World Cup. So,
did you say unrealistically optimistic?
Yes, yes.
My God, what would that be in Croatian? Because that's two magnificent English words you've used
yeah.
that I couldn't use. What would that be in Croatian?
It doesn't matter. In Croatian, it would be nevjerojatno optimističan, something like this.
Imagine if I had to say that.
Yeah, but let's put it this way. I'm convinced that we will win against Argentina, which is our next match,
yes.
and that we will win 3-0.
Mandzukic will score.
Yeah, well, Mandzukic, Modric, Rakitic, it doesn't matter, but we will win at least 3-0. I'm so optimistic.
Argentina,
you heard it here first.
You what, Lana?
I said you heard it here first. And they deserve it. As long as Dybala and Higuain doesn't start, they deserve all the losses they get. I mean, these are two of the top scorers in Serie A from last season, and he doesn't play them.
Yeah.
He didn't take Icardi because of something Icardi did several years ago.
Was it right in the book?
Hmm?
Was it when Icardi, coming into Milan fan, was it when Icardi wrote his book, he annoyed a lot of people?
No, it was when he stole his friend's wife.
Oh, cheeky. Oh.
Yeah, it's when the whole of Wanda scandal happened. But and he doesn't even like Dybala, but because Dybala has been dubbed the heir to Messi's throne, basically. But you cannot take him.
So this way, John Terry would never reach caps for England. I mean,
People are spelling your name right in the chat box, Mr. Herman. Okay, so there's a few more things that people are saying. Arsenic says, in the England v Tunisia match, VAR lost any credibility. Ludicrous. Yeah, because I mean, I'm English. I speak English. I'm born in England. I'm 100% English. Well, I'm actually not 100% English. I'm only 2% English according to my DNA results. I'm mainly Irish, Italian, and Scandinavian. So that's throwing me. That's maybe why I don't support England. But even I thought, bloody, that time where the bloke he did, what was the wrestling move, the spear? Was it Brock Lesnar or no? It was Goldberg, wasn't it? Goldberg used to do the spear, and one of the blokes speared at Kane and took him down, and the referee went, "I see nothing."
Probably an Arsenal fan.
Oh, yeah, probably. So Kevin LeBeck is saying, one decision that's not agreed upon indicates whether VAR is credible. Yeah, see, there's a lot of there's as much debate about VAR at the moment as there is about the games themselves, which is what you wanted when we had played in South Africa 2010, because that was the worst World Cup I've ever seen in my life. But this Russian one, I didn't think it would be good, but it's been very, very good. Some more stuff in here. Jonas says, Herman, do you see... He actually put your first name, but I can't say it. Do you see Croatia as the underdogs in this World Cup? And that's Jonas the Belgian.
Well, I can say yes, but as I'm optimistic, I will say not underdogs. I see Croatia is a favorite, but I'm maybe too optimistic, but I will pay that.
Realistically optimistic.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Another question for you, and from Archie. He says, ask about Kalinic. Refusing to come on versus Nigeria. He says, always said he was a trash anyway. What happened there? Because I don't remember that.
He refused to come on in a friendly against Brazil, and then against Nigeria. It seems that the manager wanted to put him in like 10 minutes before the end. And he said both times that he has problems with his back.
Oh.
So then after Nigeria match, he refused to show up on a training pitch. And he says that he has a problem with his back. And manager then reacted perfectly. And he said, I asked him three times. He wasn't ready for three times, and I need ready players for this World Cup. So he's free to go. So he's now in Croatia. He left the team. He obviously thinks that he deserves to play in the first team. He had, let's say, a solid season in Milan.
He was trash for Milan.
He scored some goals. He started to play at the end of the season more than the middle of the season. And he did help Croatia in this playoff game against Greece. He was brilliant. He scored one goal. He deserved a penalty for the first goal, which Modric scored. He is a good player. I remember him from 10 years ago when he was in Hajduk Split. And his career developed very well. He's a good player. He scored in last Euro against Spain. Very nice goal, and his quality is good enough for Croatian team, but I don't think... And
his attitude stinks, yeah, though.
And I don't think, as most Croatians would agree here with me, that I don't think he's better than Mandžukić, because...
No.
There was some doubts about Mandžukić before Nigeria match, but he was crucial for our two goals, and he showed that he's our top striker, and
he's very underrated, it seems, because people always say, but why does he start for Juventus? You have Higuain, you have Dybala, but Allegri, he's probably Allegri's most trusted attacker. And he doesn't only score and create chance, but he defends so well. Yeah. He's played like what? All the positions possible to play. The same with Cuadrado. Cuadrado's played right back and left back for Juve. Yeah. But he's so crucial, especially in big games as well. He might not score, but he creates that chance, which Dybala then goes on to finish for us. Yeah. We saw it against Madrid as well. He was so crucial to our comeback before the ref decided to screw us over.
Without VAR.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you look at his career, Mario Mandžukić, he played for Bayern München. He won the Champions League over there. He played for Atletico Madrid. These are all top teams in their league.
Coaches seem to really... He was even linked with Arsenal because he's someone you can easily trust. And he's a warrior in many aspects, as Lichtsteiner is. He will give his 100% on the pitch.
Right, we've got some more comments in here. The Thunder Road asked about my tooth. I was meant to ring up the dentist because I've got to wait for the hole to heal, and the hole is healed now, so I can have a bridge put on. I was explaining to Herman how I broke my tooth. I'm very annoyed that I broke it. It's my own stupid fault. Mike says, most exciting were Mexico. Could have hit Germany for a dozen. I really enjoyed that Mexico game. Mike, what team do you support? I mean, yeah, I suppose support, because you don't have to support the country you're from. Neil McKeown says Danny Leverkusen have just confirmed Leno is joining us. Yeah, I think that's a really good appointment. He's but we're not here to talk about that. That will be on the transfer thing that that Jason will, or John will be hosting that. So as soon as that's announced, even if it's tomorrow, then there'll be a show tomorrow, but I won't be doing it. Okay, there was another one. Oh yeah, we got our Manchester United person here. And Russia look very average tonight. I think Egypt have been better team in the first half. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the only bit of sense that's ever come out of that bloke. But we haven't banned him because we don't do that. We encourage trolls. But yeah. Anyway, yes, nice to see you joining in, Mr. Old Stretford End. And Arch says Mandzukic is underrated. Well, I have my two FIFA teams on FIFA 18. I've got Arsenal and I've got Juventus. That's the only two teams I have. And I bring on Mandzukic right with the last 10 minutes to go if I need to score from a corner or do any of that stuff.
Or you need to defend a 1-0 lead.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah. Okay, right. Lana, what was... your next game is against Peru. And that will be on the 21st of June, which is going to be, when's the 21st of June? Thursday. What are your thoughts on that game? Do you hope, or do you think they're going to beat Peru? Because Peru didn't really show much against Denmark. I mean, that's Peru's first World Cup for over 30 years, I think. I thought they looked all right at times.
I thought they had a really good game.
Yeah, Farfan looked pretty good.
I think thanks to the goalkeeper, thanks to Denmark's goalkeeper, they were lucky to win.
This is Michael Kidd.
Yeah. Because I work with a few Danes, and they're like, we were so lucky to win. Because when he made the change, when the Peru manager made the change in halftime to bring Guerrero on, Peru just like went storming on. They had so many chances. Were so unlucky not to score, thanks to, you know, the goalkeeper. So if I'm going to be brutally honest, I think that Peru is going to butt fuck France. And yeah, especially with the... predicted lineup or formation that Deschamps is playing. He's going to play Matuidi as a left winger, which isn't, it's not the worst thing. He did play as left winger for Juventus, so he did really well there. But Juve France, not the same team. And so I'm worried because it's going to be a midfield of Matuidi, Kante and Pogba. So with the slow midfield and a quick midfield of Peru, we are screwed on so many levels.
Yeah,
we're going to go out of the group stages like 2010, this time without a strike, but with a poor result.
Yeah, I can agree because I was impressed with Peru. Even Croatia played a friendly a few months ago against Peru and Peru won 2-0. They were... very fanatic, like Mexicans against Germany. So I really think that Peru, despite this loss, unlucky loss against Denmark, I think that they can go through.
And they have nothing to lose. That's the thing with South America. Well, most of the underdog teams, like, you know, the South American teams, like the Asian teams, the Arabic teams, they have nothing to lose. And we've seen with the likes of Germany, Spain, Portugal, and all these big teams, all these big favorites, none of them have been really impressed. It might be because it's the opening game, but the way I saw Germany, for instance, then I'm like, okay, Sweden might actually have a chance if Germany played the same way they did against Mexico, then Sweden can easily win.
Yeah, so go on.
This is a World Cup for the underdogs, in my opinion. I said Croatia was going to be one of the favorites to go really far.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Don't cry, please.
I'm so optimistic. I will cry.
Archie has asked me a question, but I'm going to give it to you, Herman. He says, do you think the World Cup has lived up to the hype? A lot of teams are sitting back. We need more Spain and Portugal performances. I mean, what a wonderful game that was.
Yes. I mean, I think that teams are sitting behind. And I mean, with no disrespect to any team like Morocco or Iran, but or Saudi Arabia. But those teams are forced to play defensively. And when you look Portugal, they have Cristiano Ronaldo. When you look Spain, they have so much quality players. So I think that quality determines whether you are going to score something in front or, of course, but playing more openly and provide the people some quality matches. But we saw the matches like Uruguay scored the goal in last minute. It's tough and the stakes are so high and people don't want to risk. You wait this World Cup like for years to come and you don't want to risk anything. So I understand this low quality matches, but as the time goes by, the quality will improve and I hope we will see more goals.
Have you felt about this World Cup so far, Lana?
I've enjoyed the other teams more than my own team. You know, people ask me, why are you so negative when it comes to France? So I'm like, have you seen our manager? We match fixed our way to a Euro final and we still lost to Eder. 2 minutes and 18 minutes before a penalty shootout. It's still like a haunted moment for me.
Oh, okay. So I've been enjoying it. I think there's been, I know the World Cup is meant to be all inclusive, but I think the World Cup is worse for not having Italy and Holland there and the USA. I like those, some of those teams there and some of them lesser teams like Saudi Arabia. I mean, they're never going to do anything at the World Cup. I mean, unless they play, I'd love to see them play England. But some people could say that about Iceland. Iceland a few years ago, they would never have made it to the World Cup and done anything. So maybe I'm being a little bit elitist, but it's like
they did finish top of their group and they did really well in the Euros. They beat England.
Yeah,
everyone disrespected them. And well, until France gave them a smackdown. But for me, if you can actually qualify for the World Cup, you deserve to be there.
Yeah, but I think it's going to be fixed next World Cup in Qatar because I think they're going to change. There's rumors they're changing it to 48 teams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it will be too hot for Icelandic guys. So.
Well, not at Christmas, they won't. If they're playing at Christmas in the snow in Qatar.
Still hot. Still hot. It will be like 32 Celsius. I was just making a research about this. It will be still too hot. But Iceland was top of the group where Croatia played. So they won against Croatia 1-0 in Reykjavik.
Mm. They played a really good game against Croatia, actually, in the qualifier. And Holland, they were in a group with Sweden, France. Oh, who else? Some other relevant team. And Sweden actually went through a playoff as well and beat Italy at their own game by playing so defensively as they did, winning 1-0. And okay, fine, I'm a Juventus fan. I would have loved to see Buffon at the World Cup. But, you know, the fact that Sweden managed to do it without Zlatan is just, it's such a huge achievement. Yeah. And they deserve to be there. So does Morocco. So does, you know, the other Arabic countries who qualified. And America didn't even manage to, what, beat the B team to Trinidad and Tobago. So they can sit at home and be Trump fans and, you know, cry about the fact that they're not at the World Cup. It's your own fault. It's that simple.
I like one of the best tweets I saw was when it was announced that the 2026 World Cup is going to be Mexico, America, USA, and Canada. Andy from Goons in the USA tweeted, "I still don't think the USA will qualify." He was meant to be on here tonight, but he's unreliable, and I'm going to go and have a big poo in his flower bed. That will teach him.
I think Lana mentioned the Arabic teams. I'm very curious what will happen to Iran team. They won first match and they have now two matches against Spain and Portugal. You don't have anything to lose here.
Yeah.
So they can be so relaxed. I mean, imagine the happiness of those people. They came to World Cup, they won their first match and now they're waiting Portugal and Spain. It's a perfect thing for a football fan. So
yeah, that's the thing with, I mean, if you think of the top 5-6 teams, which are Brazil, Spain, Portugal, Argentina, France, Germany, these are like the, you know, top 6 favorites. Everyone, then you have, you know, the second tier, the third tier. They have nothing to lose because they have no pressure.
Yes.
I am so confident that if someone like Croatia went into a game with France, they could easily beat France because France would, they choke under pressure. It's that simple. Some teams just don't handle the pressure of being favorites, which is why I have, you know, a spare team in, in case France go out, I need to have an underdog.
Who's your underdog? Who's your spare team?
Oh, Croatia.
Oh, hello.
I mean, if we talk about pressure, just remember the last World Cup in Brazil and this semi-final match, Brazil against Germany. And remember what happened. And this perfect example about pressure of the host nation. And this was very...
6-1 or 7-1, wasn't it?
7-1.
It was unrealistically pessimistic.
And even Germany players said in half, they came out after the World Cup or I think something like that. They said at halftime they all agreed to take it slow in the second half. Because that's when they only scored 2 goals or something to make it 6-7-1. And I'm like, wow, that's... Oh. Then you had Thiago Silva in tears, Neymar in tears, and then Thiago Silva was banned from the national team for being a pussy for crying. No tears for the Brazilians this summer.
Okay, right. A few other things from the chat box. Kevin had a good one. Oh, yeah. Kevin Labeck says, next World Cup will have China, India and USA, etc. Too many customers left out this time for FIFA's liking. That's exactly it, because this is a money-making machine and they don't give a shit about football. So, yeah, they must be gutted that all those audiences aren't going to get it. And people are saying here that Leno has signed for Arsenal. It's been confirmed. That's really good. That means there'll be probably a live podcast tomorrow with maybe Jason doing that one. I don't know who's going to be doing it because they've not tweeted me. Who else has put... the Man United fan is saying Harry Kane is going to sign for Man United. That would be hilarious. But that stadium's costing them £1 billion. So they're going to need all the money they can get. The ship will be sinking very soon. Someone else asked a question about who you're going to think. Who do you think is going to be the top goal scorer? Lana. By the end of the World Cup.
Giroud.
Giroud was actually one of my picks for the top scorer position. Him and Mandzukic was also one of them. Then you obviously have, you know, the Ronaldos, not Messi, because he seems to be choking these days.
Yeah, true. So who do you think it's going to be, Herman?
I don't know. It's a tough question. I mean, we saw it yesterday, Harry Kane scoring 2 goals. I don't think that England will go far, but he's a quality striker, sorry. He scores a lot. But my bet would be, I don't know, maybe Cristiano, because what he is doing with the age of 33, and I'm 33, so I know it's for me, it's tough to go up on the stairs. So scoring so much goals like this one from against Juventus, bicycle kick, scoring 3 goals against Spain, I don't know where his limit is.
Probably at the chemist, yeah. And he broke the record for the quickest sprint at a World Cup ever, didn't he? Unbelievable. It was Archie that asked that question, and Archie says Diego Costa.
He was brilliant against Portugal. He was amazing.
I think you need to look at the rest of the groups and see who they're all playing against, because Portugal have got to play Morocco, who aren't that fantastic, and then they've got to play Iran. So quite often, I remember the World Cup going all the way back to about 1982, and quite often the top goal scorer would get most of their goals in the early group stages of the World Cup. So he's got 3 already, and against Morocco and Iran, he might get dropped against the Iran game, the second game, because they'll beat Morocco, won't they? So maybe they'll rest him against the third game.
I think that he will be the one who will decide if he's going to take the So
definitely,
he's always hungry for goals. So I'm thinking that he will stay 90 minutes waiting. If he scores four, the ref gives the penalty for Portugal, he will score it like a fifth goal. So I don't think he will rest.
But Morocco were really good against Iran. Like, they were dominating throughout the whole game, and the only thing they missed was a goal, which happened to be scored in the wrong goal, unfortunately.
You like Morocco because Benatia is playing there.
Yeah. Well,
he was born in France, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he decided to represent his country of birth. I thought that they did really well. Fine, it was against Iran. No disrespect to Iranian fans. Please don't kill me. But they might do well. I think that Morocco, the likes of Morocco and Iran, might give them a run for their money more than Spain would. We'll see. Underdogs, yes. Never underestimate them. No one thought Japan was going to win, and they did.
Yeah, they certainly did. Herman, your next game is against Argentina. You already predicted a 3-0. Have you got any other thoughts about that game? And the final group game is against Iceland. That's going to be a fantastic game. Like Lana was saying, you played them in the qualifiers. So what are your thoughts on the Argentina and the Iceland game?
I should be modest and say something humble, but I think we have a midfield with Rakitic, Modric, Brozovic from Inter. We have a winger, Perisic. This guy, Ante Rebic, he plays for Eintracht Frankfurt. He's very, very good. We have probably the best striker in the world, Mandžukić. Right, Lana?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm not sure about our defense, even though Dejan Lovren is playing very well. But
that's a sentence I never thought I'd hear.
Yeah, but he's always like
this. Leno confirmed to Arsenal. Sorry,
I just saw that about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah,
but I thought it was just those wannabe people.
Is it official now?
Yeah, it's official from the official. It ain't official until it's on Facebook.
So Lana said it's not official.
Now so, it is.
So you can. Oh, our very own Jason Colonial Cannon is in the chat box. He's Jace, have you been watching any of the games or are you too busy getting drunk? He'll type the reply to that very soon. Herman, you were saying about do you think you're gonna beat Croatia 3? Are you gonna beat Argentina 3-0? What's your prediction for the Iceland game? Do you think it's gonna be a lot closer?
We played Iceland in this qualifying group. We won in Croatia 2-0. We lost in Reykjavik 1-0. And we played in a playoff for World Cup before. We won there in two matches. I think one was draw, and we won here in Zagreb. It will be our final match, but as I think that me being unrealistically optimistic.
I love that.
We will win Argentina, so we will play probably with the second team against Iceland.
Just pretend it's a playoff game.
Yeah. But I'm confident about the Iceland match because I think they are fighters. They are very dangerous in set pieces. But we are also very good in set pieces. We scored 2 goals against Nigeria in set pieces in corner situations. And we have a quality. They are fighters and it will be very tough because the goal they scored against us in our last match in this qualifying was in last minute. And it was a header and it was some mess in front of the goal. So I expect that we will top this group and then I'm afraid that we will run out of our luck and go out very quickly. And I will cry then. But I'm optimistic so far and I hope that this will stay at least to the quarterfinals or something.
Okay. Lana, what's been your game of the tournament and your player of the tournament so far?
Portugal-Spain would probably be my game of the tournament. Yeah. Although I did like the opening game, although it was Saudi Arabia. But I thought it was, a really good opening game because we saw a lot of goals, despite it being from one team.
I think that maybe Saudi Arabia will be buying lots of MiG-29s off of Russia any day soon after that lovely, after letting them score five past them. There'll be some kind of shady deal going on somewhere.
But, and yeah, my player of the tournament so far will be Ronaldo, obviously. I mean, can't exactly say that it was Pogba or Griezmann. Sorry, Herman.
What about Giroud?
Giroud has to start. I mean, if I can say my favorite, you know, my sub of the tournament, I'll say it's Giroud so far.
Herman, what's your ones? What's your player with the best favorite game, and your favorite, the player that's performed the best? My one is going to be a player that you that I'm going to surprise you with. It's fantastic. What?
Who is your best player?
I can't remember his name. I'm trying to find out his name. He plays for Switzerland in the midfield, and he murdered Neymar for the entire game. Don't tell me his name. I've nearly got it. I know. Remember him from Berami, is it? Yeah, yeah, Berami. He is my player of the tournament so far, because the amount of times he hit, and I mean, he could have got done for ABH or GBH or some kind of abuse, the amount of abuse that he gave to Neymar and got away with it for the entire game until he did get a yellow card. I'm just looking here. He only got a yellow card in the 68th minute. Wow. That much. He should have had about seven yellow cards and a couple of reds. It was absolutely a thing of beauty. And poor old Neymar's doing all the little tricks and flicks and drag backs and all that lot and all the little shuffles. And Brahmi went, no, bad boy, have that. Who was your player of the tournament so far? I mean, it's only been one
game. I think it's easy. It's Cristiano Ronaldo, and the match between Portugal and Spain was by far the best match we saw so far. But let's hope we will see something better, like Croatia beating Argentina 7-4 or something like this.
I thought you said three. That's being very, very unrealistically optimistic.
If you put them the other way around, one is a negative and one's a positive, isn't it? So, but yeah, that still equals a positive. I'm sure it does. Our very own Jason has put, he can't wait for Elneny to score a belter from 30 yards out against Russia now. So fingers crossed, everybody, that Elneny will do that. And then Jason's watching this at work because it's...
Is Salah playing?
Yes.
Oh, is he start? Oh.
Yeah, he is.
That goal. I just scored. Yeah,
Russia scored.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I agree with this. Oh, no.
Dude, got jinx.
I thought Russia were playing in white for some reason. They're not. They're playing in red. And I thought Egypt being red in white. Oh, the other way around. I don't know. Okay, right. So
own goal. It was an own goal.
We've been going 57 minutes. Right, people in the chat box. If you've got any questions for Herman or Lana, put them in there now. And we'll spend the last 5 minutes asking questions to those two. Oh, yeah, Mike said it was Barami that has put in there. Rudy Rastos has put, Olivier Giroud will start against Peru. Deschamps is under so much pressure now because his youth lineup didn't work against Australia, so Deschamps will make the changes. He's going to go after this World Cup, isn't he, Lana? Would you like to have, why can't I remember his name? Zidane. Would you like to have Zidane as the next France manager?
He played for Juventus. Remember this before answering. He played for Juventus.
Yes.
I had a plan in motion. It was that Zidane was going to stay. Wenger left Arsenal. Deschamps was going to get sacked after we went out of the group stages. He was going to take over the national team. Now, Zidane decided to just like stab my plan and be like, yeah, I'm just going to go and be like, bye-bye, Real Madrid. I'm a free agent now. And I'm like, what? Because, you know, Allegri's at Juve. So if, you know, Zidane was leaving, then Allegri would have gone to Arsenal. Zidane would have gone to Juve because that's his dream. He wants to coach the team that made him the player, he became at Madrid. But now everything's like, what? But Wenger has to take over the national team because Mbappe wants to be coached by Wenger, who is the greatest, manager of all time, according to him. So we need to make Mbappe's dream come true by handing him the France job. Because the thing is, I disagree with his youth setup being gone wrong. It was a good plan. It's just that he needs to drop Pogba or Kante. It's that simple. He cannot have those two in midfield together. For me, I would drop both of them against Peru. But then again, I'm not a coach, so I'm not allowed to have an opinion. I should just go to the kitchen and just stay there. Oh. Anyone want a sandwich?
As long as it's gluten-free, I might have one. Thunder Road has been nice, Lana. He's got a question for you. He says, please ask Lana about defender Issa Diop from Toulouse, rumoured to be signing for West Ham. Well, I don't know anything, I just read, that he signed today for $25 million. From what I remember, he's 21, 6'4", and a centre-back, isn't he?
He is brilliant. He was linked to Arsenal last summer. I really wanted him to go to Arsenal, but, well, they went in, what? Who did they sign? Mustafi? 2 seasons ago, yeah, he was linked to Arsenal, and then Arsenal went and signed Mustafi. I had a lot of dreams for Arsenal, but they didn't listen, so. But he's a really good defender, and West Ham has made a really, really good signing. Compared to their previous signings being made not so successful. Yeah. So I think this one, he's really going to shine in the Premier League. He's such a solid and strong defender, and he's so mature for his young age. Like, he rarely makes mistakes. I hope I'm not jinxing him by saying this, but he was so crucial to that Toulouse team last season. So I am confident that he'll be successful in the Premier League. Just a shame that it's for West Ham.
Yeah, but then again, money talks. One decent season there and someone else will snap him up. Herman, question for you from Rudy Rastos, our German fan, says, how far will England go? Hopefully they'll lose all 3 games, even though they've already won one. I just hate all these Spurs, Man United, Liverpool and Man City players in there. And the fact that the only Arsenal player in there is Danny Welbeck. And for me, he's always a Man United player. So what's your thoughts on England? How far do you think they'll go?
Since I remember in last 20 years, I'm a bit older than this. We always talk, look at how quality players there is in England team, and it always ends up in a disappointment for English fans like Danny. And I don't know what to say. They can, it's unusual to say they can surprise, because these are all Premier League players. But I wish them to go at least to the quarterfinals, but I'm not sure that they will go so far.
Well, yes. There is a fantastic, if anybody wants an insight into why I am a disillusioned, much like I was disillusioned with Arsenal, but I can't stop supporting Arsenal, I can stop following England. There's a magnificent documentary on BBC iPlayer called Managing England, The Impossible Job, and it goes all the way back to 1966. And you see how intrusive the press have been, how they've set managers up, how they've just had a go at everybody, and just the utter failure of the England national team at every single level. And the FA, for me, are the main ones to blame. And, you know, they wouldn't get a bigger England fan than me back in Euro 96. That's where me being an England fan, I even had a shirt that fitted. That's when, for me, it was at its best. And from then, it's been all downhill, and I'm just fed up of the rubbish appointments and the terrible FA and the favourite players being picked over the best players.
But Danny, do you think this is some kind of pressure, like the thing that happened to Brazil 4 years ago when they choked in the semi-final? I have a sense that this is happening to England on every major, major competition.
Yeah, Brazil, I know why. Brazil were good enough to win the World Cup. That was deserved pressure. England are rubbish. The manager is rubbish. Most of the players are rubbish. It's a collective unit. To sum up the England team, back in the Arsenal in the early 90s, the best defensive unit, Seaman, Dixon, Winterburn, Adams, Keown. If you'd have played that back five for every single England international, you'd have had a solid unit that worked together, but they didn't. They had maybe the goalkeeper, maybe a right back, maybe one of the centre backs, but England don't do that. Look at the way that the England team didn't make the most of Paul Scholes. You look at the way that Joe Cole was permanently played out on the left wing just because he could, although it wasn't his best position. Too much stuff like that. And you just go, no, I'm not bothering. I cannot cope with Arsenal being shit and England being shit at the same time. So, yeah.
But I have a theory why. Well, thing is, why I think so many of the other teams are maybe more successful or go further is they have the experience of playing in different leagues. My issue with English players and why I rarely rate them is the fact that they're too comfortable in their own
Makes sense.
Or, yeah, if you look at Wilshere, the fact that he had the chance to go to Roma on loan and didn't, and decided to go to Bournemouth, which didn't benefit him at all. Had he gone to Serie A, who's one of the most, you know, toughest leagues in Europe, he would actually have become a stronger, more physical player, and he could have actually been in Russia now. But he decided to stay with the fucking Cherries and do jack shit and barely played. And I think that's why England have always struggled, you know, picking players based on favoritism more than form, but also because they're just not good enough to play anywhere else, because they just have a tendency to stay where they are. I mean, how many English players have gone abroad? The last one is Beckham. He went to Madrid. Bale went to Madrid as well, but you know, he's not English. He's from Wales, but you get the point. I mean, you rarely see big clubs in Europe going for a British player because they're just too comfortable in England. They don't want to test the waters. They don't want to explore. And for me, that's such a shame because they might have gone on to do well. I mean, for me, I think that Joe Hart coming to Torino was a good thing for him. Yes, it wasn't a successful season for him, but he tried, which is more than you could say for most English players.
Okay. What was I going to say? Oh, I've completely forgotten now. Oh, yeah, many years ago. Echo, shut up. Fucking thing. Many years ago on the online Arsenal, I did a post on there. Said, what's your 20-year football career? Where you could start off at any club, go through your entire career. Most of the people picked Arsenal for 20 years. I said I'd start off at Barnet, Peterborough, go play for Celtic, then I'd go play for Corinthians in Brazil, go and play in France for Cannes, Inter Milan, Palermo, Borussia Dortmund, then come back and spend the last 5 or 6 years at Arsenal.
I remember this topic. This was a very interesting topic. Yeah. I didn't play for Arsenal whole career. I picked AC Parma from Italy. Perfect end of a career.
Yes. I love Italian football. Say that again, Lana.
I picked Lyon and then I picked to go because I followed the pattern of most of the, you know, French, the most successful French players. And if you look at the likes of Thuram, Zidane, Platini, Trezeguet, they all started in France, went on to go to Italy. Some stayed, some left. But the dream was always to start somewhere and then end up in Italy.
Yes, indeed. I mean, it would have been lovely. I mean, if people know Italian football, Jack Wilshere's style of play would have been fantastic in Italy because they give he would have had a lot of time on the ball and the pace is slower at times. And I love Italian football. I've been a fan of Italian football since the early 80s with my Inter Milan and all the German and Dutch players going over there. And you only could have three per team. Anyway, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the World Cup. Right, Herman, is there any last thing you'd like to say about the World Cup before we go?
Nothing. I think I talked too much and even invented some new terms of feelings. So I think this is enough.
Okay. So if people want to find you on Twitter, what's your Twitter username?
It's Herwe.
Hey, everybody, we got that.
I don't tweet. I don't tweet lately. And when I tweet, it's mostly Croatian. So I'm not so interested. Interesting person to follow on Twitter.
Change your handle to Herman.
Yeah.
Well, just go and I only follow about 380 people. And I follow both of these lovely people. So if you want to go and find them, they're on there. Or just do what I do and just WhatsApp Herman. It's a lot easier that way.
Yeah.
You get to read it. Lana, any more final thoughts about the World Cup before we go?
No, I'm just going to take one game at a time, being unrealistically pessimistic.
And do you want to give out your Twitter so people can come and have a moan at you when you point out things that are bloody obvious that people just refuse to admit?
Sure, you can give it out. I mean, you know what it is.
Yeah, I certainly do. It is at COCOLITOOO.
Cocolito with three O's at the end. It's Cocolito. You know, after Tolisso.
Oh, good player.
Russia scored second goal, so it's 2-0.
Bloody hell. I thought Russia would lose all of their games. We said in the preview, Russia would lose all of their games and then might go through.
Another own goal?
for me.
No, decent goal. It's oh, he's moved. I can't see who scored it. Right, so before we go, I just want to say thanks for watching to Rudy. The Man United fan is there as well. Stephen Edwards, Thunder Road was really well behaved. Says, great job. Nice to hear different voices and a lady too. We have tried many times to try and get female voices on here, but they've got to be able to know what they're talking about. And there are quite a few of those out there. So when I'm in charge of picking guests, you will get a lovely variety. Not that you wouldn't get it with Jace, because Jason was the one who told me that Lana was able to come on. We've been trying to get Bex on as well, so she might come and join us for a show. So Stephen Edwards, Mike, Archie, that black guy, Jimmy H, Arsenic Gunner, what other ones are there? Frinton Dino. People are going to turn off by now, so they're going to go, oh, he's just reading out names. Who else is there that I should say hello to? Our very own Jason Shredder was there. Archie. I'm not going to go through them all. But oh, Richard Grant, Kevin Laback. That was another one who's put in some decent questions. Right, people. Remember, if you want to subscribe, feel free. If you want a thumbs up or thumbs down, do that as well. Makes no difference to us. But if you subscribe, hit the little bell thing, and then you'll get a little ding-a-ling every time we go live, which for when it's transfers, we're going to do it live that day that he gets signed, which is why I hope they're not wanting to do one tonight. But again, you never know. Jace might be back on in an hour to come and do one about us signing Jay Leno, whatever his name is, the talk show host. Thank you very much to Hervo Ye. Thank you very much for joining me.
This is like 8 of 10. It's very good. Thanks for having me, and it was very nice to talk here.
And if Croatia get further on in the World Cup, we might invite you back. And thank you very much to Lana.
Yep.
Very good as always.
Thank you for having me.
And yes, thank you very much, people, for listening. We have been a Bergkamp Wonderland. We have been a World Cup Live. And now I'm going to go away and I'm going to watch some football and I might cook some dinner. Goodbye.
Bye.